This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
That's a good shot, but Simmons missed the dunk.
Wow. Everybody in the building is stunned. A rare, complete breakdown.
Now it's Hart. And Josh Hart has to worry about the contact. Hart just lost the bat. Oh, and then put it into his own chin as he slammed the ball to the ground. It came up. And
That'll be the mark.
That was, you've seen the team tennis at halftime.
Right.
That was not comfortable.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. We are now in the month of April. It's nice outside, depending on where you're at. It's looking like we're all kind of free to go, depending on where we're at. But things are, you know, I guess, you know, hope springs eternal, just like spring training does in baseball. In basketball, I don't think hope is springing eternal. I think it's sort of slowly withering out, or it's popping back up, depending on where you're at. I am Andrew Reich. I'm one of the co-hosts. I am joined by Adam Murray. As a Celtic fan up there in the Northeast, first of all, how are you doing?
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's like you're a guest, Adam. You know, you're invited to talk. I mean, where are you on the hope level up there in the Northeast with your, you know, you got the Knicks up there, you got the Celtics up there, Philadelphia just got Joel Embiid back.
The Knicks have always lived in delusion where they always think they can make the playoffs or somehow skirt in. The same thing this year. They start off hot with Thibodeau, and then all of a sudden when they brought Derrick Rose in and the injuries started to pile up, and then, yeah, they're sort of slowly sinking back down. Celtics, everybody is, I don't want to say they're mad at this team. Everybody's sort of like, yeah, they've given up. Like Danny Ainge is like, yeah, this team is terrible. Brad Stevens is even throwing them under the bus. He's like, there's nothing I could do if the team doesn't play hard for 10 minutes at a time. And it's just like, wow, you don't see coaches back up over them as often as that there. So it's, you know, they sort of know they have no hope, and we'll discuss it with the trades that happen. But it's, you know, just waiting for the season to end. Sort of everybody's just, okay, let's just wrap, finish it up.
Well, it's also strange because, you know, the timeline is like, you know, Turner takes the back seat with the NBA games because they're playing, you know, they're doing the NCAA tournament, which is finally wrapping up. You know, sort of takes the oxygen out of the room when it comes to what people are watching. The NBA, you know, it goes on, and not only is it going on, it was obviously delayed with all the, you know, with the late start. So we have a lot of these games where they're being played, but most teams still got what about maybe like 20 to 25 games to go, you know, with an accelerated schedule where a lot of back to backs are going on, and a lot of superstars are kind of on the shelf with some injuries. We just mentioned Embiid coming back recently with the Sixers, but you know, it is kind of a strange time where, you know, the trade deadline passed and some teams are strengthening, others are getting ready to go into the tanking process. And, but the teams aren't really on under the microscope yet, because the playoffs, they're there, they're close, but they're not all the way like the light's there, but it's pretty far from the end of the tunnel, if that makes any sense.
There's two different problems. Number one, with the tanking, you can't tank because Minnesota is so god awful. You can't be that bad and that, you know, just to beat their ineptitude for
and the
year.
Rockets also,
the Rockets with their 18 game losing streak.
I mean, they gave up
then,
in January.
Yeah, and then Detroit as well, who's just bad. Not their fault. They're just Brooklyn bad. They don't have the talent, but hey, we're going to try to instill some things. Let's hope some guys do better. But so you can't get that bad. Number two, with the new anti-tanking NBA lottery system, you don't have to sink all the way to the bottom because the amount
You're
of balls
about the
are
percentages in
the percentages
lottery
sort of even out a little
lessened,
bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I sort of the point I was trying to get to is that, you know, when we get to this point in early April, you're sort of gearing up for the playoffs, and you know there's this sort of race to get to that eight seed. Now there's two things. First of all, the season I believe ends in either early May or the end of April. I don't have the exact time frame, but it's just further away than it normally is for a regular sports season, which like all things is not regular right now. And the thing is, too, there's an expansion where, you know, they liked how they did the play-in game with the bubble between, which wound up being between the Grizzlies and the Blazers. Now they've expanded it to where if you're a 10 seed in your conference, you know, and there's 15 teams in your conference, like you could be the fifth worst team in the conference, and you can make you have a potential to play your way into the playoffs. So now it feels like it's a little bit more liberating. Some teams, like, I'll give you an example. The Oklahoma City Thunder are like 5 games under .500, and they're actually still within striking distance of making the playoffs from a number standpoint. But if you look at the way that the roster is being configured on a day-to-day basis, it looks like they're just actively tanking, just shutting down star players like Al Horford, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they're not playing at all. And now you see guys like Theo Maledon and Moses Brown getting big stats. It's just, it's really, really strange.
Yeah, it is sort of bizarre with that. The NBA playoffs start, I believe, May 22nd. So we have another.
I was way off on that. I'm also was off on the Thunder. They're 9 games under .500. So
yeah,
there's time
but
to really.
The thing is, with the playoffs, you have the 10 seed who makes it. And then all of a sudden, there's only 15 teams in each conference. So the bad of the bad aren't going to make it. So if you just relatively try kind of at all, you can make
the
playoffs.
Even the really bad are going to make it in this scenario. Now,
yeah,
will they pull off an upset on the 7 seed, or will the 9 seed pull off the upset on an 8 seed and win 2 out of 3? I don't know. I mean, we're not there yet, and injuries can influence a lot of that. And we, like we're saying, we're not at that point now where, in terms of number of games played, which is like around 40, where, you know, we're not at that point yet where people feel really confident about the makeup of their rosters. They're still tinkering. There's still like weird winning and losing streaks going on at the top and the bottom of the conference. So, I mean, there are haves and have-nots. Like, the Jazz are still winning 9 games in a row, chugging along. The Philadelphia 76ers were without Embiid, and, you know, they're still tops in the East. Like, don't get me wrong, Adam. There are haves and have-nots right now in the NBA. But yeah, injuries have influenced a lot of issues, and, you know, the multiple attempts to tank have started to creep up a little bit.
The unevenness of the schedule. But the thing is, you know, it's one of those, in principle, it was a good idea. Let's have, you know, this play-in. However, you know, right now you have the Warriors, and the Bulls are the last spots for each team. Does anybody want to see either of those teams in the playoffs? Have you seen how bad they are? Like, the Warriors without when Curry's out, they have literally nobody there. Oubre and Wiggins are just terrible.
Are you saying you have no confidence in Jordan Poole getting starters minutes?
And the Bulls are a game and a half of the Raptors. So
yeah,
like,
but the Bulls were active at the trade deadline, and we can sort of pivot to that because they were sort of the centerpiece of the biggest trade, which was them getting Nikola Vucevic and along with Al-Farouq Aminu, and they shipped over a couple of first-round picks, Otto Porter Jr.'s contract, and Wendell Carter Jr. So you're thinking, okay, Vucevic, Zach LaVine. You just got Billy Donovan, who coached him up in Oklahoma City before he bailed, like for Chicago. Like, now you're thinking, new beginning, fresh start, and now they've lost 6 games in a row. So, like, how do you feel if you're Chicago, if you're a Bulls fan?
Well, the Bulls fans, it's just, well, number one, Otto Porter Jr., you know, even we've even referenced it here in the new sixth season, how he didn't have a home. They were just waiting for his contract to expire. And Wendell Carter Jr., wasn't good at all to begin with. So he was, you know, the old guard of the big center who can't really do anything else. And then you have Markkanen, you couldn't do inside outside with him.
And he's got a contract coming up too, which kind of puts him in a funny situation where he can't really sit time due to injury. And he wants to get as many minutes as he can to show off for a new deal, which I understand. I get his point of view.
Yeah. So it's one of those, well, let me try to reshape this roster. What do we want to do? Are we going to build around LaVine again? Okay, let's try to, you know, clear up this logjam. Let's throw some, you know, of our garbage to Washington, and then they had that three-way trade to sort of Chicago's just sort of, okay, what do we want to do for next year? How do we want to sort of position ourselves to make ourselves a team? Orlando with their big trades of getting
that was a dump-a-thon. That was an active we are starting from scratch rebuild situation.
And the problem with that is like they're just bad. Like there's nobody, like you look at, well, first the other trade was they shipped off Aaron Gordon to Denver for RJ Hampton.
Yeah, well, let me I got it right here in front of me. Aaron Gordon and Gary Clark was thrown in there, and they went to the Nuggets. The Magic got in return Gary Harris, who has a sizable contract, which balanced out the deal. RJ Hampton, like you mentioned, and then some first round picks.
Yeah, but I assume Harris will be shipped off somewhere else in the offseason. I think they want Hampton because he's the young one they could put with Fultz and their seven centers they've drafted.
Yeah, Fultz, by the way, I mean, for those not in the know, he's been out for the whole season with an ACL tear. And the other one who's been out because he got hurt in the bubble very early was Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac, and then Mo Bamba just didn't do anything. And then they, you know, they had the kid who tore his ACL last year from Auburn. And
yeah,
they
drafted Power. Now, I got to tell you, I've been looking at their stats. Okiki and Bamba are playing a lot more now that they have the minutes there. So we'll see if they impress.
Yeah, the problem is just if you're Orlando, it's just like, oh, you're doing a rebuild again after the last rebuild failed, after the last rebuild before that failed. It's just like, you know, Houston, it's all right. We don't have anything. We just have bloated contracts.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, we'll get better. Orlando is just like, you don't see any hope coming from any rebuild with them, which is sort of a shame.
The most glaring one, I mean, obviously, you trade away Vucevic and Gordon, those are your, you know, those are two of your best like contributors. But then they traded away Evan Fournier to Boston for Jeff Teague and 2 second rounders, and then they waived Jeff Teague.
Well, they
that basically means you gave away Evan Fournier.
And that was, you know, it was two sided. Like one of those bought it was, you know, for Boston, it was like that was the best you can get. You got this big exemption, and all you could get is Fournier. And Orlando was like,
you're talking about the trade exemption that they had,
the huge $35 million trade exemption. Mm-hmm. And then Orlando was, that was all it took to get him. You didn't have to offer a first round pick. You just gave him here's cash for you to get, you know, under the cap again. Like, okay, that's all it took. You know, for Orlando, it's sort of depressing again, because you got nothing for him, just a second round pick. For Boston, the reason they said they did that was to give hope for the season, which is never a good sign if the GM is saying, I'm trying to give you hope so it's not a lost cause. And they also want to re-sign him again next year. So they figured, hey, if we could bring him in, we can have his, you know, his bird rights. And
Boston is in that, I guess, I don't know if there's a phrase that the NBA, you know, media elite like to use, but, you know, we here can call it sort of the play-in zone. You know, that's that 7 to 10 seed range, and Boston sitting right there with New York, the Indiana Pacers, and then the Bulls on that last place, that last spot. Toronto is another team that's sort of, They did not tank. Now, there were some rumors that they were looking to they had shut down Kyle Lowry for a couple of games because they were thinking about trading him away, but they just couldn't put a deal in place in time, and so they were able to retain him. But no one really knows what the scenario is there with Masai Ujiri and whether or not he's just going to unload everything in the offseason. I would think that the Raptors are still going to try to be competitive.
They're always trying to be. They wouldn't trade for Gary Trent. And, you know, sort of swap Norman Powell for him if they weren't still like, okay, we need to look down the road.
But if that's the case, Adam, why did they give away Terrence Davis and Matt Thomas, respectively, to the Kings and the Jazz for nothing? Basically, second round picks.
Because they need the space. Aren't those guys? Well, you have to get Gary Trent, number two. Aren't those two guys, don't they still have more years on their contract? This way, if you're going to...
Well, not only that, Davis was in some legal trouble, too. So that kind of played into that one.
But, you know, Toronto, it was just one of those, like, Canada is just, you know, they couldn't go back to Canada, so they're stuck in Tampa Bay and...
The Tampa Raptors, as we like to call them.
Yeah, it's just, the season for them is just sort of weird anyways. And you know, okay, Lowry... He, you know, they couldn't make a run with him with that team left. So it's okay. Let's sort of I think with Ujiri, it's the we're going to refocus around Van Fleet and Siakam. Who are the players that work well with him? Not we're going to give players away because we don't like them, but they're not going to fit this new look system we have. I have envisioned.
I know, but with Nick Nurse and the way that they coach and the way that they played last year, I just don't envision a team with Siakam and Van Vliet. And even though they traded away Norman Powell, you know, they still got, you know, Gary Trent Jr. and then Rodney Hood. Like, I just don't see a scenario where they're just going to give in and be like, all right, let's pack it in. I know we didn't get to play in Toronto. Let's just start from scratch. I think they're going to try to make a go of it in the last month or so, where they're going to try to make a go of it.
They're not the tanking team. They don't have that in their thing. And that, and again, this is a way, let's try some new combination. Let's try some new lineups. Here's what we want to do. Let's try to get, you know, as opposed to the offseason, let's get Trent. Let's get him in now. And see how it works. The same thing you said with the Bulls. Let's bring Vucevic in. Right now, they're sort of sucking because, well, we didn't have a plan for him, and he doesn't really fit.
And Patrick Williams, as much talent as he's shown, like, every now and then, he's not ready. Like, he's, like,
well, Patrick Williams is the the definition of, like, the fifth option. He is just the defense guy. Mm-hmm. You're the one. He's the smart one.
He's, you like, know, what Robert Williams is for the Celtics.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, are you pooing on Robert Williams the third?
Well, Robert Williams, he's finally starting to get it in year three after year one and two being injured, out of shape.
Shot blocker though.
Well, and that's the problem. He's one of those where he's trying to jump and block everything, so he's in this stupid foul zone, and you know he's finally getting off that. He can only play 20 minutes a game. So I think they're like, okay, this is what we have. We're gonna try to do the best we can with him.
And they liked him enough to trade away Daniel Tice.
Tice was an expiring deal. They had no intention of keeping him. The ownership said, we're not going into luxury tax. That got him under the luxury tax. Because Tice made $5 million. They traded him for Wagner and Luke Kornet.
Yeah. And Kornet does actually block some shots every now and then. He's got a little
bit of a shot. Goofy.
He's not an earth mover. But, like, you know, like he could be... You know, that was a small three-way deal. There was another really strange one between, I want to say it was the Knicks, the Thunder, and a third team. It involved Austin Rivers and Terrence Ferguson. Basically, it was the Knicks just dumping some money so that they could, I guess, add maybe some contracts at the in the waiver market. Is that?
Yes, I remember. Guessing? It was funny. I was just texting you updates. You're like, you know, hey, keep me updated on what's going on, because I wasn't doing anything. And it was just because it was not. Yeah, it was my day off. So I was just this bizarre. Like, I'm like, this one didn't. It just didn't make sense
from a logistical standpoint. Like, if the Knicks were really good and they were up there like Charlotte is right now. Yeah, I can understand you trying to clear a little bit of room on the back end of your roster so that you could get an add on. But like, they weren't in the market to get like LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond, especially when LeBron got hurt and when the Nets were going to be without Durant for a little while longer. Like, obviously, those are the teams that are in the playoffs. Those are the teams with superstars that can get you far. Those are the guys that are going to get Drummond. And ultimately, LaMarcus Aldridge went to the Nets. Drummond got signed by the Lakers. Then the Spurs had one where they got Gorgui Dieng. Am I missing any released players other than that?
No, I believe that is,
Jeff Teague went to the Bucks.
Well, Jeff Teague and, players who haven't signed of note, I believe Jabari Parker was cut
by the Kings, I believe.
Two pick, right? And nobody took him. Just going back really quick to the Knicks trade, the Knicks, I'm not sure if it was like two deals that they somehow got in, and it's one of those they, you know, the two trades, they combined to a three-team deal, but it was a way to get George Hill to the Sixers, and somehow it was like, okay, they got Terrence Ferguson.
It was sort of an engineered three-way.
They got Terrence Ferguson, garbage rights to some European guys never coming in, like a couple of second-round picks, and it's just like, what?
Vincent Poirier was another guy, right?
Oh, yes, he was he's not going to play, probably was cut already.
You know him from the Boston days, yeah.
He who didn't play here, and it was one of those like, okay, there's high hopes. Here's this, who's this weird guy I've never heard of. They gave him money, so he must be somebody. And nope, he didn't do anything. But yeah, it was just a lot of strange, weird deals. Where the last deal we forgot to mention was this, which makes me sort of question the, you know, the genius of the Rockets. management.
Mm-hmm.
Because you make this big trade, you get Oladipo in a four-team trade, and the best thing you can flip him for is Olynyk and Avery Bradley.
They were in a situation, though, where Oladipo already told them he wasn't going to sign there. So you're kind of stuck in a situation where you got to get something out of it. And I, you know, so their leverage, I wouldn't say their leverage was gone, but it had been impacted pretty, it had been impacted negatively by those reports. So it became basically an open market for Oladipo. It was almost a certainty, Adam, once we got to the deadline on the 25th of March, that Oladipo was going somewhere. He wound up with the Miami Heat.
You know, it's one of those things, you pay a big haul to get Russell Westbrook in. From mm-hmm. Oklahoma City. Then you pay to ship Wesley Westbrook out for John Wall. Then you make this big trade and you get Oladipo. And he doesn't, and the best you could get for James Harden essentially is Kelly Olynyk.
And I understand that point of view with general managers and even fan bases. Like, I saw this happen a long time ago when the Hornets were basically forced to trade away Chris Paul, and they got Eric Gordon as part of the deal. And the only reason, and basically Eric Gordon did not want to be here. And not Eric, I may have mispronounced it, but it's Eric, the one who now suddenly has a groin strain with the Rockets now that they suck. But he seemingly played every game he could play when they were really good and they were on the verge of going to the NBA finals. Kind of weird, huh? But anyways, not that I'm bitter, just saying. Eric Gordon basically was a restricted free agent in 2012. He signed an offer sheet with the Suns. We matched it even though Gordon didn't want to be here, and it turned out to backfire on us because he didn't play well in the 4 years that he played here. But the reasoning that Dell Demps, the then GM of the Hornets, then later Pelicans, had was, I can't just let him walk away for nothing. He was the centerpiece of the trade that in which we gave away Chris Paul. I can't have this assumption that I just gave Chris Paul away to the Clippers for nothing. So that's just one example of why that happens.
And this summer, we will dive into that a little further in a little foreshadowing.
Yeah, but I mean, I get that point of view. Like, you know, you turn Victor, like, because Victor Oladipo was traded in the James Harden deal, people are saying, well, you basically traded James Harden for Kelly Olynyk, some pick swaps, and Avery Bradley. But, you know, it's not, you know, it's not.
But they kept making, you traded a dollar for 75 cents and traded that 75 cents in for 35 cents. So that's the problem, is you kept getting the diminishing returns of that trade is continuing.
Unless one of the picks winds up being a star, then it's like that Marc Gasol, Pau Gasol trade quandary where it's like, well, it looked terrible at the time. Now it looks a lot better much later, you know.
Here's the thing. Here's just a quick question, and we'll wrap up this segment on this. Mm-hmm. What team has had a shit ton of picks and, like, you know,
made something really, of it?
Yeah.
The Thunder, when they had Durant, when they got Westbrook, Durant, and Harden.
They didn't load up on picks for that. They were legitimately terrible for all those years to earn the number two pick.
But they traded away Ray Allen to the Celtics. That was part of it.
Yeah, they traded Ray Allen. And then this is also another foreshadowing. We're going to go into deep dives of mm-hmm. the recent history of teams to see what teams really drafted bad. Right. And, like, if you think about it, like, they traded Ray Allen and they drafted, like, Mohamed Sene, and just really, I forget who else. You know, I'm
like, yeah,
but you trade away. So
Luke
there's
Ridnour,
a reason,
right?
It was Nick Collins and Luke Ridnour were the same year, I believe, mm-hmm. and just they had just a series of bad drafting. So yeah, you get Durant number two. Well, then okay, yeah, you're still bad. So you get Westbrook with the number four pick. Oh, and then you're still bad again. So you get Harden number three. The same thing with the Warriors. Like, oh my God, the Warriors are good. No, they were in the lottery repeatedly. And
yeah,
even before
the one they got amazingly lucky on was getting Draymond Green in the second round. But but your point is valid. Like, it's super rare when you have, even when you just stockpile the picks like the Sixers did under Sam Hinkie, and like what the Pelicans did with the Laker deal with the Anthony Davis. So we'll see with that. And now what the Thunder are doing, which is like, it makes my brain hurt looking at their war chest of draft picks. I can't figure it out yet.
Look at the process. What did it give you? It got you Markelle Fultz. It got you Nerlens Noel. It got you Jahlil Okafor.
Mm-hmm. It got a couple of stinkers. for sure.
Yeah, so that's the thing is, you know, Okafor, number three pick. Fultz was the number one pick. Nerlens Noel was fifth or sixth?
Yeah,
I think he was sixth.
He went down because of the ACL injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was sixth. But that's the thing is, you have to hit on your picks. Like the same thing with the Celtics. Okay, you got Jaylen Brown and Tatum. That's awesome. You really hit on them. But
I think you're just bitter as a Celtics fan that Danny Ainge basically kept timeouts in his pocket when the game was over, kind of thing. Are you sure it's not biased?
Well, with Ainge was just you have this war chest. We heard this rumor that Ainge had offered this deal and he made this big offer.
Yeah, it could have, would have, should have, as Jim Mora used to say.
Like you had that, but you had this whole war chest.
I'll give you one very recently that I think, I mean, it's very early into their developments, but I do think will work out for him in terms of getting one in a trade and then holding on to the other. Darius Garland and Colin Sexton in Cleveland. Now they're still bad. But, you know, Sexton's coming around really nice. And he was part of that Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving trade. So
yeah, and,
maybe that one.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You have a war chest. And, you know, Oklahoma City, they have, 17 picks in the next 5-6 drafts.
Too many. They literally have more picks than they have players on roster that they can hold.
So, what's the point of having anybody on your team now? You have too many picks. So unless you trade 5 of those picks for some, legitimate starters, drafting all these people, they're not going to because they don't have space for it. And that's what happened with the Celtics is, we have to trade one of our first-round picks away because, we have no room for him. We need to draft a European guy because we have no room for him. And
Let's just do the overall to wrap up the trade and waiver market. Do you have it's so early, just a couple weeks into seeing some of these teams flesh themselves out. There's one obvious one I'd say that has kind of worked themselves out, as a winner, and then a couple losers. Do you have a winner or a loser right now in the trade market for the deadline?
The biggest loser was Orlando, who just gutted their team and they got nothing. Their future isn't as bright as that's the thing is you're tanking. Well, you have less picks than Houston. You have less picks than Oklahoma City. Look at Detroit. They have no assets whatsoever, but they're just trading for second round picks constantly. I think they have 3 or 4 in the next draft. That's what you do. You try to find these Draymond Greens. You find this second round guy who will be good. You know, there's a lot of good.
I would also kind of lump with what you said earlier, and I would just say that the Rockets were a little bit of a loser at the trade deadline. Even though they got a couple of picks out of it, I really didn't see the purpose of the moves that they made. The Nuggets getting Aaron Gordon was a win.
Because, we had mentioned how he doesn't fit in Orlando, and now he is with since you have that point center, Gordon can roam around.
That's
everything.
I'm glad you mentioned, put him in that categorization, because people don't realize that because they just know Aaron Gordon from, the amazing dunk contest with Zach LaVine and how he's got a really strong, he's just got a strong body and stuff. He's a really good passer and he's got a very good all around game. And with the Nuggets, sort of playing that inside out play type of game with Nikola Jokic, he actually fits really well because he can help distribute the ball around and kick
it. He fits, and that's the same thing with Cousin Jamal at the point. Yeah, he's not a traditional point guard. He's an undersized two, but with a point center, and you have this team, underlined team where everybody's having their role. You don't need these traditional positional things if they all mesh together. And that's we mentioned, why did Toronto trade for Gary Trent? Why is, Celtics getting Fournier? Why Vucevic in Chicago? Well, we want to try to reshape our team. So
yeah, we got to find a way to get better. That's what it always comes down to at the end of the day at the deadline. What can we do to get better? And that's what the Celtics decided. And then that's what the Miami Heat decided. I thought the Heat kind of had some small wins, getting Bielisa, getting Victor Oladipo. I think they thought they had a real good chance at getting LaMarcus Aldridge, and the Nets swooped in and got him. That would have been a really big victory for the Heat if they were able to get Aldridge, but it didn't happen. But, Miami, who's kind of been up and down this year, I felt like they did a good job with that one.
And speaking of doing better, we will try to do better after this break. All right, the PTBN Pop Experience. They have a ton of shows for you to listen to that are not NBA related. That just seems to be us. On episode 7 of PTBN Trivia Night, Matt Souza, Greg Diener, and Mike Valente compete to see who is all that in a bag of chips when it comes to 90s trivia. 90s trivia is always a fun time, is it not?
Well, the 90s, like, a lot happened. It was 10 years. Well,
that's our time.
So, like, we need to narrow it down a little bit. Are we talking about the Rodney King riots? Are we talking about the Dream Team? Are we talking about...
Now, at what point would Rodney King riots come into trivia?
It happened in 1992.
I don't think it's really part of random trivia. Like, oh, let's see now.
Well, I just randomly brought it up. So, I mean...
It's what's like, the name? Name that NBC show where they filmed at Central Park. Who was in the riots in LA when they beat somebody pulling them out of the car? Yeah, that really fits back to back. Yeah, it's I don't know what kind of trivia nights you have. On the most recent Making Mount Rushmore, has panelists Steve Riddle, Ray Carcillo, and Ben Locke sharing which comedy cartoon series and action cartoon series are on their respective Mount Rushmores?
I didn't know there was a difference. Like, action cartoon, like, I guess, like, Batman the animated series is an action cartoon?
That anime. Nah, and then, you know, you can't Looney Tunes and, like, the, what is it, Clone Wars. They're not the same.
Simpsons would be up there.
Yeah.
Simpsons,
South
maybe
Park.
South Park is overrated. Yeah.
And the latest Pop Goes the Couch, covering The Falcon and Winter Soldier with Tim Cable, Sean Kidd, Scott Shiflett, and Andy Atherton, continue to review and break down episode two of season one, The Star Spangled Man.
Yeah,
the Falcon, I think that's Marvel Universe stuff.
Yeah, that's MCU. Yeah, because now that WandaVision's done, it's now we're at the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. After that is Loki. And then the Black Widow is going to be in theaters pretty soon in the summer. But we'll see how it goes, you know, with the box office bouncing back. You know, now that they're losing theater restrictions, well, you know, maybe it'll be... I mean, the story goes that they're going to be it's going to be available for $30 on Disney Plus, the Black Widow. But we'll see if they change their mind.
It's going to be like pay-per-view, where it's going to be started on $40 and $50 for all these. Hey, you
well,
don't want to
I mean, look, I mean, we mentioned it before. Like, you know, Warner Brothers is putting their movies on HBO Max for 30 days, like Tom and Jerry and Godzilla and then the Suicide Squad. There were tons of advertisers for the Suicide Squad just recently. Like, those movies are still going to make a shitload of money in theaters despite being on HBO Max for 30 days.
Oh, yeah, because people are ready to get
that. Does Disney change their algorithm? Do they decide... We'll just make it exclusively for theaters.
In a new edition of Pop Goes the Couch, launches with James Gutenberg and J.R. Senior D'Amato reviewing the Mighty Ducks Game Changers Season 1, Episode 1, Game On.
That is another Disney Plus series.
On the inaugural episode of the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational podcast, Andy and Miranda share their love for Muppets and review the first episode of Season 1 of The Muppet Show.
Also on Disney Plus. Are we just advertising Disney Plus?
Battlestar in the 25th Century continues on with Sean Kidd taking his apprentice Scott Shiflett to some classic sci-fi shows of the late 70s and early 80s, probably on Disney Plus.
Quantum
Leap. Tellian T returns with Miranda and Ben having a spot of tea to discuss WandaVision. I guess they haven't reached Falcon and Winter Soldier yet, but that'll be coming soon.
Don't be mean.
Oh, you know I love Tellian T. Blockbuster Rewind returns with co-host Andy Atherton, Scott Shiflett, and Eric Ells, welcoming Cowboy Rogers Morissette to discuss the Oceans film franchise.
How many are there? I know there's three.
11, 12, 13. There was the women's one, and then there was the original Oceans 11. And there's probably more coming on Disney Plus.
There was an original?
The one from the 60s.
I didn't know, like, with the Rat Pack?
Yeah.
I didn't know
you
that.
You thought the one with Clooney was an original?
Yes, I did. You learn something new every day. Look at that.
The newest piece of the action has Logan Crosland joining Matt Souza for a live watch of Logan.
That's a great movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's basically an R-rated X-Men movie.
And on the first official Into the Spidey movieverse, Greg and Chico look back on the first Spider-Man movie from the 2002 era, directed by Sam Raimi.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a movie they just reboot too many times. There's just too many Spider-Man.
Well,
they always
did you
keep...
hear this? Well, the story is that they're doing the next Spider-Man movie. It's called No Way Home, and they're bringing back all the different iterations. It's like a multiverse thing.
Yeah, that's the can't just once you finish three. Well, we need to reboot it again. It's like and again, don't
if they have Tobey Maguire do that weird emo dance that he did in Spider-Man 3 in the new one, that would be funny.
And check out the PTBN wrestling feed for all the wrestling stuff. We all know and love that. Let's get back to the show.
And we're back. And I actually forgot to do the our intro timestamp. It's actually episode 188 of PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. Are you feeling a little old there? We're getting
Thank
close
you
to that
for introducing the second segment a half hour in.
I know
with the episode number where
I know
you're,
we're going it's like Memento. We're going backwards here.
You're just in mid-season form already.
We're just in mid-season form. You know, it's interesting though, because like we were talking about, we had a lot of happenings with the trade deadline. It wasn't as they had some big moves. I mean, obviously the biggest trade was James Harden going to the Nets, but that was way back in January. Didn't it feel like the real party already happened. This was sort of like the after party back in.
Yeah,
the
this is just the fallout. And how do we counter those moves and counter those moves? And you know what? You really have to feel bad for Milwaukee, who in the beginning of the season really tried to make an attempt like this. Or we're going to go all in. We're going to trade for Jrue Holiday,
who just got a max extension, by the way. That's
strange.
He got a 5-year. I think it's 5 years, $160 million, unless I'm wrong. But
And that's just
and the last one is a player option, which is big. That means that he's got a lot of leverage in the next few years.
That means they like him, but it's just very like, wow, they gave him a ton of... So you're like, yeah, well, like, oh, so it'd be Milwaukee this year. This will be the year. Then all of a sudden, you know, Brooklyn's like, oh no, we're, you know, going all over the top. We're all in. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, well, okay, fine. They, you know, isn't this team funny? They got no size. They gutted their roster for Harden, Durant, and then oh, what? They signed Blake Griffin. LaMarcus Aldridge, who's not decrepit. He's just sort of old now, but you know, Blake Griffin's like, okay, you know, well, he'll give you 15, 20 minutes. That's all he can do now.
And you never know with like former all-star veteran additions of that nature, depending on where they're at in their career. Like sometimes like Blake Griffin made a show of it. I remember when they played Detroit where he wanted to make sure people knew, you know, I can still dunk. I can still play hard. I can still do those things. Now he's not. Can he do that every single night? No. That's why Detroit got rid of him. You know.
Yeah.
Detroit dumping Blake Griffin was not necessarily like, oh, look at this ripe opportunity for a superstar laden team. No, Blake Griffin played like shit. That's why he got dumped. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge was not playing well. That's why they were giving all those minutes to Derek White and DeJounte Murray and Keldon Johnson.
Yeah, but they're, you know, with expectations a lot lower now, it's not, you know, with mm-hmm. You're making 30, 40 million. We need you to anchor 35 minutes. We need you to make 20 and 15 every night. Oh, you can't do it. But hey, can you give us a 20 minutes?
But this, yeah, but also this microwave culture of, you know, superstar, you know, quick build teams. Like, yeah, like maybe, you know, Aldridge and Griffin can do something, you know. Drummond was desperation for the Lakers. Like, you know, LeBron James got hurt with a high ankle sprain. You know, knowing LeBron, you know, I'm sure he loves tweeting about the NCAA tournament every now and then, but I'm pretty sure he's really inching to get back. With Anthony Davis, it's still tricky. You know, that's a similar injury. Like we talked about in the last episode, that's a very similar injury to what Kevin Durant had in the 2019 NBA Finals.
And
you
that's
don't want to
why...
rush him back.
And that's why, you want to come back? Okay, that's cool. No. Yeah, LeBron wants to come back, but I think him knowing that Anthony Davis will be out, okay, I'll just sit out too and I'll come back fresh. Why wear myself out? I can, you know, the old Celtics mantra, like, yeah, we can be the away team. And it doesn't really matter if you play the Clippers at home because it's the same thing.
Right.
You're going to still...
The only thing that's weird about the Clippers is they made that one kind of, I would almost, it wasn't an exact swap because there were some picks involved and some cash involved, but it was basically a straight swap between Lou Williams to the Hawks and getting Rajon Rondo. So we'll see if playoff Rondo can pop up for the Clippers once we get to that point. But, you know, the Clippers are playing Paul George and Kawhi Leonard for most of the games, and they're still, the results are still kind of mixed. Like, you know, they lost to the Bucks, and then they lost one to the Mavericks, and then they'll have another game where they look really good against a bad team. You know, they're just almost kind of treading water, while the Suns are, they've won five straight. They're playing their ass off. Devin Booker's putting up some major numbers. The Jazz, I think, are at a point where they're just, I think they're kind of safe at that perch in the one spot in the East, in the one seed, and they're not going to let it go.
Well, let's just say, let's say it's a six-team race in the West. Like, let's start from the bottom up. Do the Trailblazers scare you at all?
No. If Norman Powell plays well, yes.
They'll be one of those, they'll be hot, they'll push you to six or seven games, but I don't think them as a team can put you over. Does Denver really scare you? No, because you know they're going to inexperience themselves out.
The Aaron Gordon version can be scary if they can build some more
chemistry. If they can get everything going. Do the Clippers scare you? No, yes. Of course not. The Clippers look terrible on a night-to-night basis. They're still in the bubble of we can't put together two games in a row.
I'll correct myself. Kawhi Leonard scares me. Playoff Paul George does not scare me. That's I'll just correct myself.
That team just has no consistency. The Suns are hot, but I don't see them as terribly good because a lot of it's just beating on bad teams. And
my biggest issue with the Suns is that they're not very deep. Like, if they get an injury to like somebody like Mikal Bridges or DeAndre Ayton, like, they're in a lot of trouble.
And then when the game starts slowing down in the playoffs, they're not
experience,
built for
by the
that.
Way, in the playoffs.
Exactly. Chris Paul can only get you so far, but since none of them know what to do, it's going to be the same thing we saw at Denver 2 years ago. Oh, they somehow snuck in the number two or three seed, and then all of a sudden, oh, they don't know what they're doing here. So I am the same thing with the Raptors a couple years ago when they started to make their push. It was, oh, these guys, you know, faltered out at the end. So that's the thing, is like the Lakers, like, yeah, do we need to push ourselves to get that extra seed? No, there's no fans at any of these games. It'll be half full.
We do have to give a little bit of credit to Frank Vogel, the coach of the Lakers. Like, defensively, they're holding as hard as they're doing as well as they can with the roster. Like, Kuzma's had some good performances. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has played pretty hard. Montrezl Harrell is there. Like, they're still, like, getting a win. They're trading wins for losses here and there. They're sort of like, they're almost like the Clippers, in which they're sort of just kind of floating in the middle. They're not in a threat. They are not in a position to be dropped down into that play-in zone that we keep talking about. Like, I think they're okay, but you just wonder how long LeBron's going to be able to be out. And then obviously you wonder about, you know, how rusty Davis is going to be when he eventually returns, depending on how close that return is to the start of the postseason. But
so that's,
I mean,
the thing is,
AD and LeBron are such a big part of it all.
Do you expect either of them to come back literally less than three games before the playoffs, just to
LeBron,
wipe the rust off? Like,
I think LeBron will be back in the next week or so. That's my prediction.
I know he's going to want to come back, but I don't see a reason to.
Well, he didn't break his ankle. It's a high sprain.
Yeah, but he's going to be like, I'll play 40 minutes. I'll do, you know, I'm going to chase that loose ball.
Yeah, he was in that MVP chase mode, you know. And some people are like, yeah, but LeBron's not thinking about that. And he's like, no, every superstar, when they're on a roll like that, their mind is on, hey, I might win MVP if I can play every game.
He was in that mode. Mm-hmm, now, not, why come back early? And, you know, because he knows it's going to be me. I need to transition to I need to become the sidekick now, which he knows. He's smart enough to know, like Kobe, he couldn't be the sidekick. So that's why, oh, yeah, I'm still, you know, shooting threes out there with garbage players around me because I need to still be the man.
Well, we just got the Space Jam trailer, so maybe he can get that super team that he's been trying to get, all the Warner Brother properties. He can get Bugs Bunny, he can get the Iron Giant, he can get the killer from The Shining. Like, is there any other ones that I'm thinking of?
So are you psyched for the first Space Jam?
Well, it's weird because, I mean, if we're going off topic, like, you know, HBO Max is putting their stuff on their streaming service at the same time that it's in theaters. People are like, oh, this is the death of theaters. Well, Godzilla versus Kong just made $50 million, and it's on HBO Max right now. So you tell me if it's working or not.
The death of theaters was nobody was allowed in the theaters, and your biggest market, New York, wasn't allowing people in theaters, so you can't make money if people aren't allowed to go into
it. So this is going to be going in the theaters in July. You think LeBron James is going to be one sitting at, he's not going to be sitting in the theater watching it. He wants to be in the playoffs while they're advertising this movie for him. You know,
exactly.
His end game is like, I want to go to the finals. Now, is it preserving his health the most important thing at this point? For Rob Pelinka, absolutely. But I don't know what LeBron James is thinking.
No, he's thinking, I need to make it into the final. I need to make it back to the finals. I can't make it back into the finals if I go too hard now, because.
But does he have to bridge the Lakers to the end of the regular season is the big question. I think
that's
AD,
why there's a difference.
I think
between...
they punted on AD for the rest of the regular season.
Of course, but and that's why with LeBron, you're like, oh, he'll come back. There's no reason for him to come back now as opposed to 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now. You have another month left. If you look at your schedule and you see, oh, I still got the Timberwolves, I got the Kings twice. Yeah, I don't need you to come back
right
until, you know, I'll say 10 games to go would be a good – let's go 10 games to go, so let's go 7-3. Let's make a
I'm
push.
I'm more optimistic.
To...
I'll say a couple weeks before that. I'd say in the middle. I'd say somewhere in the late April he'll be back.
And with that, it'll be, I'm going to guess, purely what seed are we? Who would we play in the playoffs? Well, I don't want to see, playoff Paul George in the first round. I'd rather see the Phoenix Suns, who don't know what they're doing.
Well, not only that, remember, we're going to have this break in between because we have to finish these playing games. Now, we might see a scenario where these playing games are done after one day. We might see a scenario where it takes 3 days. So you never like there's what I'm saying is there's going to be more time for the one seed to look and see who they have to
play. Is there this is a stupid question because I probably should know the answer. Is a play in best of three or just one game?
I believe it's best of three. Like if the higher seed wins, it's over. If the lower seed wins, then they have to play again and then play a third time. So if the higher seed wins the second one, kind of thing. But so, yeah, similar to what they did with Portland and Memphis. I'd have to go back, and if anybody's wrong, definitely give us a holler. But I'm almost sure
we're definitely wrong. We're just the definition of being wrong. I'm surprised, to be fair, this I think was the first episode in a long time where we actually sort of had our facts and had names and players and right. dates correctly, as opposed to a couple weeks.
You're just totally outing our lack of format.
Well, we have for it. It's just lack of brain power where we started, right. And then all of a sudden, who was that?
I don't want to get too like muddled with the. I wouldn't call it the bottom of the West because some of these teams are in the playoffs as we speak. Like the Mavericks won 4 straight, but Luka Doncic, he's so good, but God, he scares me with his shooting. It's so off track. He cries to the referees all the time. It's becoming a problem where he gets technical fouls just for like bitching about every play because he does it so much. He's turned into
Rasheed
Wallace.
That's the European style of
it. Well, he needs to shut the hell up and play sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But getting a technical for just shouting and one, that's more just the ref like.
Remember when Rasheed got thrown out of the game in the Western Conference Finals because he looked at Jack Crawford?
Yeah, those are just the refs. Like, come on, guys, you don't need to do that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be rescinded. Like, no, that doesn't count towards your total because that was just a stupid one to call a tech. That's just the ref having a quick ego trip. But just we're going to wrap with this question real quick.
Okay,
Porzingis,
I'm worried about him.
He did not. It was one of those things like you. I hope we're going to give him max deal. I hope he comes back and he's a superstar. And he just hasn't come back from that ACL.
I'll give you an example. Like about a week ago, I don't remember what game it was. He had a game where he had 33-9. Like he looked good. The next day he is making like they play the Knicks or something. He a good defensive team. He's playing. He can't make anything. You know, like it's starting to get kind of scary with Porzingis where you just wonder if we're at a point where you just kind of have to preserve him for the playoffs at this point.
Yeah,
like I would actually consider
those, like,
shutting him down.
And it's just one of those, like, it's sort of a shame. Like he could have been, he's just gonna be like one of those tales, like, man, he could have really been one of the best, but that injury slowed him down. And I don't want to say that the time that the clock is ticking on him, but the back end
on Porzingis.
the back end of his career is going to be a steep.
And that's why the Mavericks felt like they need a little bit more shooting. So they get J.J. Redick and Nikola Melli from the Pelicans, even though J.J. Redick said he didn't want to get traded. He wanted to get bought out so he could go play in Brooklyn where he lives. And I don't know if you saw the clip of it, but he threw some major shade at the Pelicans management and David Griffin.
Well, he didn't say he wanted to get bought out. He said he wanted to be traded to the East because he wants to be near his family. And it's one of those like, hey, we'll try. Yeah, we'll do it. Okay, the deals didn't materialize. And well, we're not going to give you to somebody because
I got to tell you this, though. You know, so he said that he made that demand in November. And that's fine. You can make the demand within the organization whenever you want to. And if you want to disclose it to the public in an interview, go ahead. It's your career. But if you're playing like crap, you're owed. This is a business, JJ. You're owed nothing. You know, like if you're not playing well, and you finally get a team that makes a call and says, "Hey, we'll give you," you know, what did they wind up getting in return? That we'll give you like James Johnson and a second round pick and some cash consideration. I'm going to make the deal, you know, and
you know, to be fair, New Orleans can use a 3/4 gritty defender as opposed to Nikola Melli, who started off kind of strong last year, but then sort of fizzled out. And
yeah, we'll see how he does in Dallas. You know, like we just talked about, they won 4 straight. They're sort of bouncing back. But yeah, Porzingis is scary. Nothing much on the New Orleans end over here. The only thing I have to say, Zion is at that point in his career now where he is putting up monster numbers on a daily basis. And now this is part of the process. Like, are we going to win every game? No, we're not. You know, do we need to play Eric Bledsoe less? Yes, we do. But he's stuck with us because he's locked in until 2022. But, you know, you see some bright spots from Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Kyra Lewis, the first round pick. Like, there's a future there. But Zion, chef's kiss. Like, I'm really liking what I'm seeing. It's part of the process. Are we not? Are we going to be a playoff team? No. But, like, I think I do like what I see heading into the future. Like, I'm a little more optimistic than I was, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, J.J. Redick, get fucked. I'm sorry. I don't know any other way to say it.
For Andrew Reach, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.